In the meantime, I'd like you to start this course of folic acid and prenatal vitamins. Here's a leaflet of do's and don'ts. As she hands me a package of pills and a leaflet, she continues to talk at me, but I'm not listening. I'm in shock, overwhelmed. Surely I should be happy. Surely I should be 30, at least. This is too soon. Far too soon. I try to quell my rising sense of panic. I wish Dr. Green a polite goodbye and head back down to the exit and out into the cool fall afternoon. I'm gripped suddenly by a creeping cold and deep sense of foreboding. Christian is going to freak, I know. But how much and how far? I have no idea. His words haunt me. I'm not ready to share you yet. I pull my jacket tighter around me, trying to shake off the cold. Sawyer leaps out of the SUV and holds open the door. He frowns when he sees my face, but I ignore his concerned expression.
Where to, Mrs. Gray?
He asks gently. S.I.P. I nestle into the back seat of the car, closing my eyes and leaning my head on the headrest. I should be happy. I know I should be happy. But I'm not. This is too early. Far too early. What about my job? What about SIP? What about Christian and me? No, no, no. We'll be fine. He'll be fine. He loved baby Mia. I remember Carrick telling me. He dotes on her now. Perhaps I should warn Flynn. Perhaps I shouldn't tell Christian. Perhaps I should end this. I halt my thoughts on that dark path, alarmed at the direction they're taking. Instinctively, my hand sweeps down to rest protectively over my belly. No. My little blip. Tears spring to my eyes. What am I going to do? A vision of a little boy with copper-colored hair and bright gray eyes running through the meadow at the new house invades my thoughts, teasing and tantalizing me with possibilities. He's giggling and squealing with delight as Christian and I chase him. Christian swings him high in his arms and carries him on his hip as we walk hand in hand back to the house. My vision morphs into Christian turning away from me in disgust. I'm fat and awkward, heavy with child. He paces the long hall of mirrors, away from me, the sound of his footsteps echoing off the silvered glass, walls, and floor. Christian. I jerk awake. No. He's going to freak out. When Sawyer pulls up outside SIP, I leap out and head into the building.
Anna! Great to see you! How's your dad?
Hannah asks as soon as I reach my office. I regard her coolly. He's better, thank you. Can I see you in my office?
Sure.
She looks surprised as she follows me in.
Is everything okay?
I need to know if you've moved or canceled any appointments with Dr. Green.
Dr. Green? Yes, I have. About 2 or 3 of them. Mostly because you were in other meetings or running late. Why?
Because now I'm fucking pregnant, I scream at her in my head. I take a deep, steadying breath. If you move any appointments, will you make sure I know? I don't always check my calendar.
Sure, Hannah says quietly. I'm sorry. Have I done something wrong?
I shake my head and sigh loudly. Can you make me some tea? Then let's discuss what's been happening while I've been away.
Sure, I'll jump to it.
Brightening, she heads out of the office. I gaze after her departing figure. You see that woman? I talk quietly to the blip. She might be the reason you're here. I pat my belly, then feel like a complete idiot, because I am talking to the blip. My tiny little blip. I shake my head, exasperated at myself and at Hannah, though deep down I know I can't really blame Hannah. Despondently, I switch on my computer. There's an email from Christian.
From Christian Gray. Subject, missing you. Date, September 13th, 2011, 1358. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, I've been back in the office for only 3 hours, and I'm missing you already. Hope Ray has settled into his new room okay. Mom is going to see him this afternoon and check up on him. I'll collect you around 6 this evening, and we can go and see him before heading home. Sound good? Your loving husband.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. I type a quick response. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, missing you. Date, September 13th, 2011. 14:10. To Christian Gray. Sure. X. Anastasia Gray, editor, SIP. From Christian Gray. Subject, missing you. Date, September 13th, 2011. 14:14. To Anastasia Gray.
Are you okay?
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. No, Christian, I'm not. I'm freaking out about you freaking out. I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to tell you via email. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, missing you. Date, September 13th, 2011, 14:17. To Christian Gray. Fine, just busy. See you at 6. X. Anastasia Gray, editor, SIP. When will I tell him? Tonight? Maybe after sex? Maybe during sex? No, that might be dangerous for both of us. When he's asleep? I put my head in my hands. What the hell am I going to do?
Hi, Christian says wearily as I climb into the SUV.
Hi, I murmur.
What's wrong?
He frowns. I shake my head as Taylor sets off toward the hospital. Nothing. Maybe now? I could tell him now, when we're in a contained space and Taylor is with us.
Is work all right?
Christian continues to probe. Yes, fine. Thanks.
Anna, what's wrong?
His tone is a little more forceful, and I chicken out. I've just missed you, that's all, and I've been worried about Ray. Christian visibly relaxes.
Ray's good. I spoke to Mom this afternoon, and she's impressed with his progress.
Christian grasps my hand.
Boy, your hand is cold. Have you eaten today?
I blush.
Anna?
Christian scolds me, annoyed. Well, I haven't eaten because I know you're going to go batshit crazy when I tell you I'm pregnant. I'll eat this evening. I haven't really had time. He shakes his head in frustration.
Do you want me to add feed my wife to the security details list of duties?
I'm sorry. I'll eat. It's just been a weird day. You know, moving Dad and all. His lips press into a hard line, but he says nothing. I gaze out the window.
Tell him,
my subconscious hisses. No, I'm a coward. Christian interrupts my reverie.
I may have to go to Taiwan.
Oh? When?
Later this week, maybe next week.
Okay.
I want you to come with me.
I swallow. Christian, please, I have my job. Let's not rehash this argument again. He sighs and pouts like a sulky teenager.
Thought I'd ask,
he mutters petulantly. How long will you go for?
Not more than a couple of days. I wish you'd tell me what's bothering you.
How can he tell? Well, now that my beloved husband is going away. Christian kisses my knuckles.
I won't be away for long.
Good. I smile weakly at him. Ray is much brighter and a lot less grumpy when we see him. I'm touched by his quiet gratitude to Christian, and for a moment, I forget about my impending news as I sit and listen to them talk about fishing and the Mariners. But he tires easily. Daddy, we'll leave you to sleep.
Thanks, Anna, honey. I like that you dropped by. Saw your mom today, too, Christian. She was very reassuring. And she's a Mariners fan. She's not crazy about fishing, though,
Christian says wryly as he rises.
Don't know many women who are, eh?
Ray grins. I'll see you tomorrow, okay? I kiss him. My subconscious purses her lips. That's provided Christian hasn't locked you away, or worse. My spirits take a nosedive.
Come.
Christian holds out his hand, frowning at me. I take it, and we leave the hospital. I pick at my food. It's Mrs. Jones's chicken chasseur, but I'm just not hungry. My stomach is knotted in a tight ball of anxiety.
Damn it! Anna, will you tell me what's wrong?
Christian pushes his empty plate away, irritated. I gaze at him.
Please, you're driving me crazy.
I swallow and try to subdue the panic rising in my throat. I take a deep, steadying breath. It's now or never. I'm pregnant. He stills, and very slowly all the color drains from his face.
What?
He whispers, ashen. I'm pregnant. His brow furrows with incomprehension.
How?
How? How? What sort of ridiculous question is that?
I blush and give him a quizzical, how do you think, look. His stance changes immediately, his eyes hardening to flint.
You're shot,
he snarls. Oh, shit.
Did you forget you're shot?
I just gaze at him, unable to speak. Fuck, he's mad. Really mad.
Christ, Anna!
He bangs his fist on the table, making me jump, and stands so abruptly he almost knocks the dining chair over.
You have one thing to remember. Shit, I don't fucking believe it. How could you be so stupid?
Stupid? I gasp. Shit. I want to tell him that the shot was ineffective, but words fail me. I gaze down at my fingers. I'm sorry, I whisper.
Sorry? Fuck,
he says again. I know the timing's not very good.
Not very good, he shouts. We've known each other 5 fucking minutes. I wanted to show you the fucking world, and now, fuck, diapers and vomit and shit.
He closes his eyes. I think he's trying to contain his temper and losing the battle.
Did you forget? Tell me. Or did you do this on purpose?
His eyes blaze and anger emanates off him like a force field.
No,
I whisper. I can't tell him about Hannah. He'd fire her.
I thought we'd agreed on this,
he shouts. I know. We had. I'm sorry. He ignores me.
This is why. This is why I like control, so shit like this doesn't come along and fuck everything up.
No, little blip. Christian, please don't shout at me. Tears start to slip down my face.
Don't start with waterworks now, he snaps. Fuck!
He runs a hand through his hair, pulling at it as he does.
You think I'm ready to be a father?
His voice catches, and it's a mixture of rage and panic. And it all becomes clear. The fear and loathing writ large in his eyes. His rage is that of a powerless adolescent. Oh, 50, I am so sorry. It's a shock for me, too. I know neither one of us is ready for this, but I think you'll make a wonderful father. I choke. We'll figure it out.
How the fuck do you know?
He shouts, louder this time.
Tell me how!
His eyes burn as so many emotions cross his face. It's fear that's most prominent.
Oh, fuck this!
Christian bellows dismissively and holds his hands up in a gesture of defeat. He turns on his heel and stalks toward the foyer, grabbing his jacket as he leaves the great room. His footsteps echo off the wooden floor, and he disappears through the double doors into the foyer, slamming the door behind him and making me jump once more. I am alone with the silence, the still, silent emptiness of the great room. I shudder involuntarily as I gaze numbly at the closed doors. He's walked out on me. Shit. His reaction is far worse than I could ever have imagined. I push my plate away and fold my arms on the table,
letting my head sink into them while I weep.
Anna, dear? Mrs. Jones is hovering beside me. I sit up quickly, dashing the tears from my face.
I heard.
I'm sorry, she says gently. Would you like an herbal tea or something?
I'd like a glass of white wine.
Mrs. Jones pauses for a fraction of a second, and I remember Blip.
Now I can't drink alcohol.
Can I?
I must study the do's and don'ts Dr. Green gave me.
I'll get you a glass.
Actually, I'll have a cup of tea, please.
I wipe my nose. She smiles kindly.
Cup of tea, coming up.
She clears our plates and heads over to the kitchen area. I follow her and perch on a stool, watching her prepare my tea. She places a steaming mug in front of me.
Is there anything else I can get for you, Anna?
No, this is fine. Thank you.
Are you sure? You didn't eat much.
I gaze up at her. I'm just not hungry.
Anna, you should eat. It's not just you anymore.
Please, let me fix you something. What would you like?
She looks so hopefully at me, but really, I can't face anything.
My husband has just walked out on me because I'm pregnant. My father has been in a major car accident. And there's Jack Hyde, the nutcase, trying to make out that I sexually harassed him. I suddenly have an uncontrollable urge to giggle.
See what you've done to me, little Blip?
I caress my belly. Mrs. Jones smiles indulgently at me.
Do you know how far along you are?
She asks softly. Very newly pregnant. 4 or 5 weeks. The doctor isn't sure.
If you won't eat, then at least you should rest.
I nod, and, taking my tea, I head into the library. It's my refuge. I dig my BlackBerry out of my purse and contemplate calling Christian. I know it's a shock for him, but he really did overreact. When does he not overreact? My subconscious arches a finely plucked brow at me. I sigh. 50 shades of fucked up.
Yes, that's your daddy, little Blip. Hopefully he'll cool off and come back.
Soon. I pull out the leaflet of do's and don'ts and sit down to read. I can't concentrate. Christian's never walked out on me before. He's been so thoughtful and kind over the last few days. So loving. And now?
Suppose he never comes back.
Shit. Perhaps I should call Flynn. I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. He's so fragile in so many ways, and I knew he'd react badly to the news. He was so sweet this weekend, all those circumstances way beyond his control, yet he managed fine. But this news was too much. Ever since I met him, my life has been complicated. Is it him? Is it the two of us together? Suppose he doesn't get past this. Suppose he wants a divorce.
Bile rises in my throat.
No, I mustn't think this way. He'll be back.
He will.
I know he will. I know, regardless of the shouting and his harsh words, that he loves me.
Yes.
And he'll love you too, little Blip. Leaning back in my chair, I start to doze. I wake, cold and disoriented. Shivering, I check my watch. 11 in the evening.
Oh, yes. You.
I pat my belly.
Where's Christian? Is he back?
Stiffly, I ease out of the armchair and go in search of my husband. 5 minutes later, I realize he's not home. I hope nothing's happened to him. Memories of the long wait when Charlie Tango went missing flood back.
No, no, no.
Stop thinking like this. He's probably gone to...
Where?
Who would he go and see?
Elliot?
Or maybe he's with Flynn. I hope so. I find my BlackBerry back in the library, and I text him.
Where are you? I head into the bathroom and run myself a bath. I am so cold. He still hasn't returned when I climb out of the bath. I change into one of my 1930s-style satin nightdresses and my robe and head to the great room. On the way, I pop into the spare bedroom. Perhaps this could be little Blip's room. I am startled by the thought and stand in the doorway, contemplating this reality. Will we paint it blue or pink? The sweet thought is soured by the fact that my errant husband is so pissed at the idea. Grabbing the duvet from the spare bed, I head into the great room to keep vigil. Something wakes me. A sound. Shit! It's Christian in the foyer. I hear the table scrape across the floor again. Shit! He repeats, more muffled this time. I scramble up in time to see him stagger through the double doors. He's drunk. My scalp prickles. Shit. Christian drunk? I know how much he hates drunks. I leap up and run toward him. Christian, are you okay? He leans against the jamb of the foyer doors.
Mrs. Gray.
He slurs. Crap. He's very drunk. I don't know what to do.
Oh, you look mighty fine, Anastasia.
Where have you been? He puts his finger to his lips and smiles crookedly at me.
Shh.
I think you'd better come to bed.
With you?
He snickers. Snickering? Frowning, I gently put my arm around his waist because he can hardly stand, let alone walk. Where has he been? How did he get home? Let me help you to bed. Lean on me.
You are very beautiful, Anna.
He leans on me and sniffs my hair, almost knocking both of us over. Christian, walk. I am going to put you to bed.
Okay,
he says, as if he's trying to concentrate. We stumble down the corridor and finally make it to the bedroom.
Bed,
he says, grinning. Yes, bed. I maneuver him to the edge, but he holds me.
Join me.
He says, Christian, I think you need some sleep.
And so it begins. I've heard about this.
I frown. Heard about what?
Babies mean no sex.
I'm sure that's not true. Otherwise, we'd all come from one-child families. He gazes down at me.
You're funny.
You're drunk.
Yes.
He smiles, but his smile changes as he thinks about it, and a haunted expression crosses his face, a look that chills me to the bone. Come on, Christian, I say gently. I hate his expression. It speaks of horrid, ugly memories that no child should see. Let's get you into bed. I push him gently, and he flops down onto the mattress, sprawling in all directions and grinning up at me. His haunted expression gone.
Join me,
he slurs. Let's get you undressed first. He grins widely, drunkenly.
Now you're talking.
Holy cow. Drunk Christian is cute and playful. I'll take him over mad as hell Christian any time. Sit up. Let me take your jacket off.
The room is spinning.
Shit. Is he going to throw up? Christian, sit up! He smirks up at me.
Mrs. Gray, you are a bossy little thing.
Yes, do as you're told and sit up. I put my hands on my hips. He grins again, struggles up onto his elbows, then sits up in a most un-Christian-like, gawky fashion. Before he can flop down again, I grab his tie and wrestle him out of his gray jacket. One arm at a time.
You smell good.
You smell of hard liquor.
Yes. Bourbon.
He pronounces the syllables with such exaggeration that I have to stifle a giggle. Discarding his jacket on the floor beside me, I make a start on his tie. He rests his hands on my hips.
I like the feel of this fabric on you, Anastasia.
He says, slurring his words.
You should always be in satin or silk.
He runs his hands up and down my hips, then jerks me forward, pressing his mouth against my belly.
And we have an invader in here.
I stop breathing. Holy cow. He's talking to Little Blip.
You're going to keep me awake, aren't you?
He says to my belly.
Oh, my.
Christian looks up at me through his long, dark lashes, gray eyes blurred and cloudy. My heart constricts.
You'll choose him over me,
he says sadly.
Christian, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't be ridiculous. I am not choosing anyone over anyone. And he might be a she.
He frowns.
A she? Oh, God.
He flops back down on the bed and covers his eyes with his arm. I have managed to loosen his tie. I undo one shoelace and yank off his shoe and sock, then the other. When I stand, I see why I've met no resistance. Christian has passed out completely. He's sound asleep and snoring softly. I stare at him. He's so goddamn beautiful, even drunk and snoring. His sculptured lips parted, one arm above his head, ruffling his messy hair, his face relaxed. He looks young. But then, he is young. My young, stressed-out, drunk, unhappy husband. The thought rests heavily in my heart. Well, at least he's home. I wonder where he went. I'm not sure I have the energy or the strength to move him or undress him any further. He's on top of the duvet, too. Heading back into the great room, I pick up the duvet I was using and bring it back to our bedroom. He's still fast asleep, still wearing his tie and his belt. I climb onto the bed beside him, remove his tie, and gently undo the top button of his shirt. He mumbles something incoherently in his sleep, but he doesn't wake. Carefully, I unbuckle his belt and pull it through the belt loops, and after some difficulty, it's off. His shirt has come dislodged from his pants, revealing a hint of his happy trail. I can't resist. I bend and kiss it. He shifts, flexing his hips forward, but stays asleep. I sit up and gaze at him again. Oh, 50-50-50, what am I going to do with you? I brush my fingers through his hair. It's so soft. And kiss his temple. I love you, Christian. Even when you're drunk and you've been out God knows where, I love you. I'll always love you. Mmm, he murmurs. I kiss his temple once more, then get off the bed and cover him up with the spare duvet. I can sleep beside him, sideways across the bed. Yes, I'll do that. First, I'll sort out his clothes, though. I shake my head and pick up his socks and tie and fold his jacket over my arm. As I do, his BlackBerry falls to the floor. I pick it up and inadvertently unlock it. It opens on the text screen. I can see my text and, above it, another. Fuck. My scalp prickles. It was good to see you. I understand now. Don't fret. You'll make a wonderful father. It's from her. Mrs. Elena Bitch Troll Robinson. Shit. That's where he went. He's been to see her. Chapter 21. I gape at the text, then look up at the sleeping form of my husband. He's been out until 1:30 in the morning, drinking. With her. He snores softly, sleeping the sleep of a seemingly innocent, oblivious drunk. He looks so serene. Oh, no. No, no. My legs turn to jelly, and I sink slowly to the chair beside the bed in disbelief. Raw, bitter, humiliating betrayal lances through me. How could he? How could he go to her? Scalding, angry tears ooze down my cheeks. His wrath and fear, his need to lash out at me, I can understand and forgive. Just. But this... this treachery is too much. I pull my knees up against my chest and wrap my arms around them, protecting me and protecting my little blip. I rock to and fro, weeping softly. What did I expect? I married this man too quickly. I knew it. I knew it would come to this. Why? 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 How could he do this to me? He knows how I feel about that woman. How could he turn to her? How? The knife twists slowly and painfully deep in my heart, lacerating me. Will it always be this way? Through my tears, his prostrate figure blurs and shimmers. Oh, Christian, I married him because I love him, and deep down I know that he loves me. I know he does. His achingly sweet birthday present comes to mind. For all our firsts on your first birthday is my beloved wife. I love you. C. X. No, no, no. I cannot believe that it will always be this way. Two steps forward and three steps back. But that's how it's always been with him. After each setback, we move forward, inch by inch. He will come around. He will. But will I? Will I recover from this? From this treachery? I think about how he's been this last horrible, wonderful weekend. His quiet strength while my stepdad lay broken and comatose in the ICU. My surprise party. Bringing my family and friends together. Dipping me down low outside the Heathman and kissing me in full public view. Oh, Christian. You strain all my trust, all my faith, and I love you. But it's not just me now. I place my hand on my belly. No, I will not let him do this to me and our blip. Dr. Flynn said I should give him the benefit of the doubt. Well, not this time. I dash the tears from my eyes and wipe my nose with the back of my hand. Christian stirs and rolls over, pulling his legs up from the side of the bed, and curls up beneath the duvet. He stretches out a hand as if searching for something, then grumbles and frowns, but settles back to sleep, his arm outstretched. Oh, 50, what am I going to do with you? And what the hell were you doing with the bitch troll? I need to know. I glance once more at the offending text and quickly hatch a plan. Taking a deep breath, I forward the text to my BlackBerry. Step 1, complete. I quickly check the other recent texts, but see only messages from Elliot, Andrea, Taylor, Roz, and me. None from Elena. Good, I think. I exit the text screen, relieved that he hasn't been texting her, and my heart lurches into my throat. Oh my... The wallpaper on his phone is photograph upon photograph of me, a patchwork of tiny Anastasias in various poses, our honeymoon, our recent weekend sailing and soaring, and a few of Jose's photos, too. When did he do this? It must have been recently. I notice his email icon, and an idea slithers enticingly into my mind. I could read Christian's emails. See if he's been talking to her. Should I? Sheathed in jade green silk, my inner goddess nods emphatically, her mouth set in a scowl. Before I can stop myself, I invade his privacy. There are hundreds and hundreds of emails. I spin down through them, and they all look dull as ditchwater, mostly from Roz, Andrea, and me, and various executives in his company. None from the bitch troll. While I'm at it, I'm relieved to see there are none from Layla either. One email catches my eye. It's from Barney Sullivan, Christian's IT guy, and the subject line is Jack Hyde. I glance guiltily at Christian, but he's still snoring gently. I've never heard him snore. I open the email. From Barney Sullivan, subject Jack Hyde.
Date, September 13th, 2011, 14:09. To Christian Gray.
CCTV around Seattle tracks the white van from South Irving Street. Before that, I can find no trace, so Hyde must have been based in that area. As Welch has told you, the unsub car was rented with a false license by an unknown female, though nothing that ties it to the South Irving Street area. Details of known GEH and SIP employees who live in the area are in the attached file, which I have forwarded to Welch, too. There was nothing on Hyde's SIP computer about his former PAs. As a reminder, here is a list of what was retrieved from Hyde's SIP computer. Gray's home addresses. 5 properties in Seattle, 2 properties in Detroit. Detailed resumes for Carrick Gray, Elliot Gray, Christian Gray, Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Anastasia Steele, Mia Gray. Newspaper and online articles relating to Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Carrick Gray, Christian Gray, Elliot Gray. Photographs. Carrick Gray, Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Christian Gray, Elliot Gray, Mia Gray. I'll continue my investigation, see what else I can find.
B. Sullivan, Head of IT, GEH. This odd email momentarily sidetracks me from my night of woe. I click on the attachment to check through the names on the list, but it's obviously huge, too big to open on the BlackBerry. What am I doing? It's late. I've had a tiring day. There are no emails from the bitch troll or Layla Williams, and I take some cold comfort from that. I glance quickly at the alarm clock. It's just after 2 in the morning. Today has been a day of revelations. I am to be a mother, and my husband has been fraternizing with the enemy. Well, let him stew. I am not sleeping here with him. He can wake up alone tomorrow. After placing his BlackBerry on the bedside table, I retrieve my purse from beside the bed, and after one last look at my angelic, sleeping Judas, I leave the bedroom. The spare playroom key is in its usual place in the cabinet in the utility room. I grab it and scoot upstairs. From the linen closet, I retrieve a pillow, duvet, and sheet, then unlock the playroom door and enter, switching the lights to dim. Odd that I find the smell and ambiance of this room so comforting, considering I safe-worded the last time we were in here. I lock the door behind me, leaving the key in the lock. I know that tomorrow morning Christian will be frantic to find me, and I don't think he'll look in here if the door's locked. Well, it will serve him right. I curl up on the Chesterfield couch, wrap myself in the duvet, and drag my BlackBerry from my purse. Checking my texts, I find the one from the evil bitch troll that I forwarded from Christian's phone. I press forward and type. Would you like Mrs. Lincoln to join us when we eventually discuss this text she sent to you? It will save you running to her afterward. Your wife. I press send and switch the volume to mute. I huddle under my duvet. For all my bravado, I'm overwhelmed by the enormity of Christian's deceit. This should be a happy time. Geez, we're going to be parents. Briefly, I relive telling Christian that I'm pregnant, and fantasize that he falls to his knees with joy in front of me, pulling me into his arms and telling me how much he loves me and our little blip. Yet, here I am, alone and cold in a BDSM fantasy playroom. Suddenly, I feel old, older than my years. Taking on Christian was always going to be a challenge, but he really has surpassed himself this time. What was he thinking? Well, if he wants a fight, I'll give him a fight. No way am I going to let him get away with running off to see that monstrous woman whenever we have a problem. He's going to have to choose, her or me and our little blip. I sniffle softly, but because I'm so exhausted, I soon fall asleep. I wake with a start, momentarily disoriented. Oh yes, I'm in the playroom. Because there are no windows, I have no idea what time it is. The door handle rattles.
Anna!
Christian shouts from outside the door. I freeze, but he doesn't come in.
I hear muffled voices, but they move away. I exhale and check the time on my BlackBerry. It's 7:50, and I have 4 missed calls and 2 voice messages. The missed calls are mostly from Christian, but there's also one from Kate. Oh, no. He must have called her. I don't have time to listen to them. I don't want to be late for work. I wrap the duvet around me and pick up my purse before making my way to the door. Unlocking it slowly, I peek outside. No sign of anyone. Oh, shit. Perhaps this is a bit melodramatic. I roll my eyes at myself, take a deep breath, and head downstairs. Taylor, Sawyer, Ryan, Mrs. Jones, and Christian are all standing in the entrance to the great room, and Christian is issuing rapid-fire instructions. As one, they all turn and gape at me. Christian is still wearing the clothes he slept in last night. He looks disheveled, pale, and heart-stoppingly beautiful. His large gray eyes are wide, and I don't know if he's fearful or angry. It's difficult to tell. Sawyer, I'll be ready to leave in about 20 minutes, I mutter, wrapping the duvet tighter around me for protection. He nods, and all eyes turn to Christian, who is still staring intensely at me. Would you like some breakfast, Mrs. Gray? Mrs. Jones asks. I shake my head. I'm not hungry, thank you. She purses her lips, but says nothing.
Where were you?
Christian asks, his voice low and husky. Suddenly, Sawyer, Taylor, Ryan, and Mrs. Jones scatter, scurrying into Taylor's office, into the foyer, and into the kitchen like terrified rats from a sinking ship. I ignore Christian and march toward our bedroom.
Anna, he calls after me. Answer me.
I hear his footsteps behind me as I walk into the bedroom and continue into our bathroom. Quickly, I lock the door.
Anna!
Christian pounds on the door. I turn on the shower. The door rattles.
Anna, open the damn door!
Go away!
I'm not going anywhere.
Suit yourself.
Anna, please.
I climb into the shower, effectively blocking him out. Oh, it's warm. The healing water cascades over me, cleansing the exhaustion of the night off my skin. Oh, my. This feels so good. For a moment, for one short moment, I can pretend all is well. I wash my hair, and by the time I've finished, I feel better, stronger, ready to face the freight train that is Christian Gray. I wrap my hair in a towel, briskly dry myself with another towel, and wrap it around me. I unlock the door and open it to find Christian leaning against the wall opposite, his hands behind his back. His expression is wary, that of a hunted predator. I stride past him and into our walk-in closet.
Are you ignoring me?
Christian asks in disbelief as he stands on the threshold of the closet. Perceptive, aren't you? I murmur absent-mindedly as I search for something to wear. Ah, yes. My plum dress. I slide it off the hanger, choose my high black stiletto boots, and head for the bedroom. I pause for Christian to step out of my way, which he does, eventually, his intrinsic good manners taking over. I sense his eyes boring into me as I walk over to my chest of drawers, and I peek at him in the mirror, standing motionless in the doorway, watching me. In an act worthy of an Oscar winner, I let my towel fall to the floor and pretend that I am oblivious to my naked body. I hear his restrained gasp and ignore it.
Why are you doing this?
He asks, his voice low. Why do you think? My voice is velvet soft as I pull out a pretty pair of black lace La Perla panties.
Anna.
He stops as I shimmy into them. Go ask your Mrs. Robinson. I'm sure she'll have an explanation for you. I mutter as I search for the matching bra.
Anna, I've told you before, she's not my...
I don't want to hear it, Christian. I wave my hand dismissively. The time for talking was yesterday, but instead, you decided to rant and get drunk with the woman who abused you for years. Give her a call. I'm sure she'll be more than willing to listen to you now. I find the matching bra and slowly pull it on and fasten it. Christian walks farther into the bedroom and places his hands on his hips.
Why were you snooping on me?
He says. In spite of my resolve, I flush. That's not the point, Christian, I snap at him. Fact is, the going gets tough, and you run to her.
His mouth settles into a grim line. It wasn't like that.
I'm not interested. Picking a pair of black thigh highs with lacy tops, I retreat to the bed. I sit, point my toe, and gently ease the gossamer material up to my thigh.
Where were you?
He asks, his eyes following my hands up my legs, but I continue to ignore him as I slowly roll on the other stocking. Standing, I bend to towel dry my hair. Through my parted thighs, I can see his bare feet, and I sense his intense gaze. When I've finished, I stand and step back to the chest of drawers, where I grab my hairdryer.
Answer me.
Christian's voice is low and husky. I switch on the hairdryer so I can no longer hear him, and watch him through my lashes in the mirror as I finger-dry my hair. He glares at me, eyes narrow and cool, chilling even. I look away, focusing on the task at hand and trying to suppress the shiver that runs through me. I swallow hard and concentrate on drying my hair. He's still mad. He goes out with that damned woman, and he's mad at me? How dare he? When my hair looks wild and untamed, I stop. Yes, I like it. I switch off the hairdryer.
Where were you?
He whispers, his tone arctic. What do you care?
Anna, stop this, now.
I shrug, and Christian moves quickly across the room toward me. I whirl around, stepping back as he reaches out.
Don't touch me!
I snap, and he freezes.
Where were you?
He demands, his hands fist at his side.
I wasn't out getting drunk with my ex,
I seethe.
Did you sleep with her?
He gasps.
What? No!
He gapes at me and has the gall to look wounded and angry at the same time. My subconscious breathes a small, welcome sigh of relief.
You think I'd cheat on you?
His tone is one of moral outrage.
You did, I snarl, by taking our very private life and spilling your spineless guts to that woman.
His mouth drops open.
Spineless? That's what you think?
His eyes blaze.
Christian, I saw the text. That's what I know.
That text was not meant for you,
he growls.
Well, fact is, I saw it when your BlackBerry fell out of your jacket while I was undressing you because you were too drunk to undress yourself. Do you have any idea how much you've hurt me by going to see that woman?
He pales momentarily, but I'm on a roll, my inner bitch unleashed.
Do you remember last night when you came home? Remember what you said?
He stares at me blankly, his face frozen.
Well, you were right. I do choose this defenseless baby over you. That's what any loving parent does. That's what your mother should have done for you. And I am sorry that she didn't, because we wouldn't be having this conversation right now if she had. But you're an adult now. You need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee and stop behaving like a petulant adolescent. You may not be happy about this baby. I'm not ecstatic, given the timing and your less than lukewarm reception to this new life, this flesh of your flesh, but you can either do this with me, or I'll do it on my own. The decision is yours. While you wallow in your pit of self-pity and self-loathing, I'm going to work, and when I return, I'll be moving my belongings to the room upstairs.
He blinks at me, shocked.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to finish getting dressed.
I am breathing hard. Very slowly, Christian retreats one step, his demeanor hardening.
Is that what you want?
He whispers.
I don't know what I want anymore.
My tone mirrors his, and it takes a monumental effort to feign disinterest while I casually dip the tips of my fingers into my moisturizer and smooth it gently over my face. I peer at myself in the mirror. Blue eyes wide, face pale but cheeks flushed.
You're doing great. Don't back down now. Don't back down now.
You don't want me?
He whispers. Oh, no.
Oh, no, you don't, Gray. I'm still here, aren't I?
I snap.
Taking my mascara, I apply some first to my right eye.
You've thought about leaving?
His words are barely audible. When one's husband prefers the company of his ex-mistress, it's usually not a good sign. I pitch the disdain at just the right level, evading his question. Lip gloss now. I pout my shiny lips at the image in the mirror. Stay strong, Steele. Gray. Holy fuck, I can't even remember my name. I pick up my boots, stride over to the bed once more, and quickly put them on, tugging them up over my knees. Yep, I look hot just in underwear and boots. I know. Standing, I gaze dispassionately at him. He blinks at me, and his eyes travel swiftly and greedily down my body.
I know what you're doing here,
he murmurs, and his voice has acquired a warm, seductive edge.
Do you?
And my voice cracks. No, Anna, hold on. He swallows and takes a step forward. I step back and hold my hands up.
Don't even think about it, Gray,
I whisper menacingly.
You're my wife,
he says softly, threateningly.
I'm the pregnant woman you abandoned yesterday, and if you touch me, I will scream the place down.
His eyebrows rise in disbelief.
You'd scream?
Bloody murder!
I narrow my eyes.
No one would hear you,
he murmurs, his gaze intense, and briefly I'm reminded of our morning in Aspen.
No, no, no.
Are you trying to frighten me? I mutter, breathless, deliberately trying to derail him. It works. He stills and swallows.
That wasn't my intention.
He frowns. I can barely breathe. If he touches me, I will succumb. I know the power he wields over me and over my traitorous body. I know. I hang on to my anger.
I had a drink with someone I used to be close to. We cleared the air. I am not going to see her again.
You sought her out?
Not at first. I tried to see Flynn, but found myself at the salon.
And you expect me to believe you're not going to see her again?
I cannot contain my fury as I hiss at him.
What about the next time I step across some imaginary line? This is the same argument we have over and over again, like we're on some Ixion's wheel. If I fuck up again, are you going to run back to her?
I am not going to see her again,
he says with a chilling finality.
She finally understands how I feel.
I blink at him.
What does that mean?
He straightens and runs a hand through his hair, exasperated and angry and mute. I try a different tack.
Why can you talk to her and not to me?
I was mad at you, like I am now.
You don't say, I snap. Well, I am mad at you right now. Mad at you for being so cold and callous yesterday when I needed you. Mad at you for saying I got knocked up deliberately when I didn't. Mad at you for betraying me.
I manage to suppress a sob. His mouth drops open in shock, and he closes his eyes briefly as if I'd slapped him. I swallow.
Calm down, Anastasia.
I should have kept better track of my shots, but I didn't do it on purpose. This pregnancy is a shock to me, too,
I mutter, trying for a modicum of civility.
It could be that the shot failed.
He glares at me, silent.
You really fucked up yesterday,
I whisper, my anger boiling over.
I've had a lot to deal with over the last few weeks. You really fucked up 3 or 4 weeks ago, or whenever you forgot your shot.
Well, God forbid I should be perfect like you.
Oh, stop.
Stop, stop.
We stand glowering at each other.
This is quite a performance, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers.
Well, I'm glad that even knocked up, I'm entertaining.
He stares at me blankly.
I need a shower,
he murmurs.
And I've provided enough of a floor show.
It's a mighty fine floor show,
he whispers. He steps forward, and I step back again.
Don't.
I hate that you won't let me touch you.
Ironic, huh?
His eyes narrow once more.
We haven't resolved much, have we?
I'd say not.
except that I'm moving out of this bedroom. His eyes flare and widen briefly.
She doesn't mean anything to me.
Except when you need her.
I don't need her. I need you.
You didn't yesterday. That woman is a hard limit for me, Christian.
She's out of my life.
I wish I could believe you.
For fuck's sake, Anna.
Please, let me get dressed. He sighs and runs a hand through his hair once more.
I'll see you this evening,
he says, his voice bleak and devoid of feeling. And for a brief moment, I want to take him in my arms and soothe him. But I resist because I'm just too mad. He turns and heads for the bathroom. I stand frozen until I hear the door close. I stagger to the bed and flop down on it. I did not resort to tears, shouting, or murder, nor did I succumb to his sexpertise. I deserve a Congressional Medal of Honor, but I feel so low. Shit. We resolved nothing. We're on the edge of a precipice. Is our marriage at stake here? Why can't he see what a complete and utter ass he's been by running to that woman? And what does he mean when he says he'll never see her again? How on earth am I supposed to believe that? I glance at the radio alarm. 8:30. Shit. I don't want to be late. I take a deep breath. Round two was a stalemate, little blip, I whisper, patting my belly. Daddy may be a lost cause, but I hope not. Why, oh why, did you come so early, little blip? Things were just getting good. My lip trembles, but I take a deep, cleansing breath and bring my rolling emotions under control. Come on, let's go kick ass at work. I don't say goodbye to Christian. He's still in the shower when Sawyer and I leave. As I gaze out the darkened windows of the SUV, my composure slips and my eyes water. My mood is reflected in the gray, dreary sky, and I feel a strange sense of foreboding. We didn't actually discuss the baby. I have had less than 24 hours to assimilate the news of Little Blip. Christian has had even less time. He doesn't even know your name. I caress my belly and wipe tears from my face.
Mrs. Gray.
Sawyer interrupts my reverie.
We're here.
Oh, thanks, Sawyer.
I'm going to make a run to the deli, ma'am. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you, no. I'm not hungry. Hannah has my latte waiting for me. I take one sniff of it, and my stomach roils. Can I have tea, please? I mutter, embarrassed. I knew there was a reason I never really liked coffee. Geez, it smells foul. You okay, Anna? I nod and scurry into the safety of my office. My BlackBerry buzzes. It's Kate. Why was Christian looking for you? She asks with no preamble at all. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Cut the crap, Steele. What gives?
The Catherine Cavanaugh Inquisition begins. Christian and I had a fight, that's all.
Did he hurt you?
I roll my eyes. Yes, but not the way you're thinking. I cannot deal with Kate at the moment. I know I will cry, and right now I am so proud of myself for not breaking down this morning. Kate, I have a meeting. I'll call you back.
Good. You're all right?
Yes.
No.
I'll call you later, okay?
Okay, Anna. Have it your own way. I'm here for you.
I know, I whisper, and fight the backlash of emotion at her kind words. I am not going to cry. I am not going to cry.
Ray okay?
Yes, I whisper the word.
Oh, Anna,
she whispers.
Don't.
Okay. Talk later.
Yes.
During the course of the morning, I sporadically check my emails, hoping for word from Christian, but there's nothing. As the day wears on, I realize that he's not going to contact me at all, and that he's still mad. Well,
I'm still mad, too. I throw myself into